cast Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly at it again as we are here in the summer, watching the top horse racing across the country and some around the world as Saratoga had a little snafu today. But the show moves on, and welcome, Dad. How you doing?
Doing terrific. A lot better than some of the people at DRF. You saw that today. They got rid of a bunch of people. I think they, you know, they got Matt. I just watched Matt Bernier on his podcast. He was let go Monday, and Hubdy out on the West Coast.
Right.
And I think Watchmaker.
Oh, really? Wow. He's been with them a while.
I'm not real sure about that, but I think that, I mean, he was there for as long as the DRF was.
Right. Wow. Yeah, they've been really skimming down on the employees, at least the ones in the front.
Well, my people, you know, when I listened to the radio show out here in Vegas, they were talking about how the California situation at Santa Anita has contributed to this mightily, you know, because apparently a big portion of the DRF revenue comes from the bar, from California.
Oh, okay.
And apparently this whole situation at Santa Anita just cut revenue dramatically.
So, wow. So, well, most of them will turn up somewhere.
Yeah. You're running out of places. Where can you go?
That's true. Well, yeah. And that's a pretty high profile gig. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm listening to, if you go on YouTube and listen to Matt Bernier, you get a better feel for it. But I like him. I mean, you know, he's
right,
very knowledgeable and straightforward, et cetera. But who knows?
I am reading. Confirmation horseraceinsider.com. They confirmed Jay Hovde, Mike Watchmaker, Matt Bernier, Byron King, and editor Robert Fortuna.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's it never is like to see people lose their job, but this is, this is not good. Let's move on to happier subjects.
Yeah, that's right. So as I alluded to in the beginning, Saratoga got four races in before the skies began to open up and I guess did a number. You were watching it more than I was. But so what happened exactly?
I saw it, live on TV here. I mean, it was very strange. First of all, I don't think they expected any rain at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's. You know, in the fourth race, you begin to see it was raining. And I said,
right.
And of course, on TV, it's difficult to see how hard it is. But, it was funny because I think it was Leperu was on the two in the fifth race. I could be wrong. But he started, how they do the loop around and then they start out through an alleyway, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. And he was being let out, and all of a sudden, they stopped. And the horse was led back into the paddock, and he jumped off. And then the jockeys were all sitting around. And then they finally came up with a banner that said, their fifth race is delayed due to their track maintenance. And then they were showing, how they try to seal the track, with the tractors. And apparently it didn't, too much water got underneath as far as they were concerned. And I guess they didn't want the track torn up. So they canceled the races from then on.
So any word if the meet's going to extend to October?
It wasn't on the program yet today.
Yeah, right. That's right. But Yeah, so you had a nice score in the second race, and tell our listenership how you put the bet together.
Yeah, well, it was a fun bet. That's all. When you bet a super effect and you pay 10 cents, and I had determined that I liked the 2 and the 4. The 4 was the early favorite as odds came on. The 2 was about 6-7 to 1. And then I looked and saw that the odds on the 5 was, almost even with the 4. At one point, they were both even. And so I put a ticket together with this, was the 2-4 with the 2-4-5 with all. A real genius move. Uh-huh. And then I paid $56 or $57 for 10 cents. Right. So, so it made my day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Makes you want to come back for another day.
Yes.
Right.
It does.
Let's talk about, Saratoga is kind of, it's a tough meet to handicap and to have success. What would you advise horse players if they're going through a bad slump and just like scratching their head, like I'll never get one? What would be your advice to kind of prevent from going deeper and maybe keeping it a little positive?
Well, the main thing is cut it back to basics. I mean, you get too wide. I mean, even the 10 cent super factor, which was a fun bet, it was not a good way to end a win streak, to lose a streak.
Right.
Certain amount of luck there. I think that I saw some figures today about, there's no question the trainers who normally win.
Right.
The jockeys who normally are high percentage at Saratoga remain as high percentage. Mm-hmm. And so that anytime you're in question, you got to look at both, the trainer, mm-hmm. number one, and then who's got on the back of the horse, and they kind of lead you to the right way, and then stay away from the favorite. I mean, it's not that they don't win, and they'd win a good third of the time, but you're not going to make any money on the favorites, particularly when they're odds-on favorite, they're better.
Right.
There's no reason to get in that bet. So what I do is I look at where the money is, and then try to, if there is an odds-on favorite, I try to find a horse that can beat him, that he even has a contention to beat him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting about this, and I at night I watch some of the Australian races.
Right.
I don't know. Have you ever watched the odds on these Australian races?
A little bit, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a horse. This is in a race where it was 1-9.
Uh-huh.
And went off at 9-1.
Oh.
And I'm saying, if you look at the race, the horse that, like, with 10 minutes to go or 7 minutes to go, whatever, at least the horses were on the track, the horse that normally is the favorite and, right, is blinking as they blink, the horse that's favorite, invariably doesn't go up in favorite. There's some other horse somewhere along the line. All of a sudden they go in the gate and there's that horse is like the fourth horse.
Right.
There are three other horses that are on time in relationship to him. So it's very strange, and it just points out how important it is to watch how the odds are going. It's just not picking winners.
Mm-hmm. So those are words of advice from Bill Kelly here at Win at the Horses, and we are recapping a few days, the past few days, we'll take a look at the Haskell and then move on to what's going to happen tomorrow and the weekend. How about the Haskell? How did you see the day being split up like that? Frustrating?
Well, I heard a figure this morning that the country, all the tracks together, lost between $25 and $35 million over the weekend.
Oh.
Because of all the cancellations and the heat and all this other stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, it was a very costly heat wave. And again, it comes back to the whole California. Everybody's so spooked about safety of the horses, which, you know, no one's going to say they're in favor of horses dying. But it's way out of control. I mean, in actuality, and I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, is that when you look at the figures, even for Santa Anita, that their final figure for 2019 in the spring was actually better than what it was in the previous years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So all this, I mean, they had a period of time where they had an enormous bunch of horses that died in a short period of time. So it when you look at the overall meet, it was not that bad, you know?
Right,
yeah. In relation to other years. So this is carrying over to every, I mean, I heard, in the case of the Monmouth, that the governor got involved after the, before the race, and they said, well, let's run the first two races. There was no incidents in the first two races. And then all of a sudden they come up with this plan where we won't take any chances. We'll cancel everything except the stakes races and start running them at 6 o'clock. Well, if you know anything about Monmouth, it's on the ocean, right?
Yeah.
So behind the clubhouse where the paddock is and where the people are, start out, doesn't get the breeze. But on the front side where the racing is done, usually gets a strong breeze. So
right.
There was no reason to not run these horses. I mean, it was hot, don't get me wrong. And it's probably more uncomfortable for the people at the track or on the back of the horse than it is for the horse themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And these, it's not like they haven't been in they came from Aqueduct in the wintertime to 100 degree weather. I mean, they this has been a gradual buildup, so that all these horses have adapted to the warm weather.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Do you think if they had moved it to the whole card to Sunday, that might have been a better thing, or?
They canceled Sunday.
I know, that was the craziest part.
I mean, there was no reason for Saratoga to cancel Saturday.
Right.
Sunday was no better than Saturday. The weather was the same. It's just silly. Absolutely silliness. They just cost themselves between $25 million.
Yeah, pretty much all around the board. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's So in any event, hopefully the heat wave has dissipated to the point that there won't be any more of this. And as far as the Haskell was concerned, I thought it was a great race.
And your Mucho Gusto almost had it for a while, but ran a good race.
Yeah, I mean, look, it proves that horse is a good horse. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he you know, the horse that won was Maximum Security. Right. That's his home track. He trains there where Mucha Vista had to fly cross country and everything else. So the fact that he got beat by a, what was that? Couldn't have been more than a length.
Yeah. Oh, it was right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that, and he was wide all the way. You know, it was an excellent, excellent race. And originally I thought they were going to take down the Maximum Security again because of the bump or the on the turn there, just before the turn with, who's the horse that beat him the last time?
King for a Day.
King for a Day.
Right.
Johnny V up, and the back end of Maximum Security kind of bumped the other horse, but it wasn't. I think Johnny V reacted a little bit. His horse was slowing down anyway, and I think he reacted a little stronger than actually was called for. So that was a good no call.
Right.
But you have to wonder about Sias sometimes. I mean, you know, he seems to be getting himself into these situations where a lot of his horses in tight races are involved in inquiries.
He usually says, well, the horse is young and experiencing things for the first time, but that only can go so far.
Yeah, I mean, even to me, the Kentucky Derby, going back to that, there was no reason to take that horse down.
Right.
I mean, the reason that there was an incident at all was a misplay by Daclione, who should have stayed on the inside. If he had a shot, if he stayed on the inside, he was on the tooth pad, and he was inside of Maximum Security. If he stays where he is and went straight ahead, he would have had a chance, at least a chance to show he could beat him.
Right.
But he pulled out and went on the other side of Maximum Security. And consequently, he caused, not that he caused the problem, but if he had stayed where he was, there would have been no problem. So, you know, I don't know. In any event, that Maximum Security is a good horse. There's no question about that.
Yeah. So So next stop will be up in Saratoga for the Travelers, I'm sure, if the horse stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes out and is saying that should be a heck of a race.
Right.
Which leads into the Jim Dandy, because
most
horses that are warming up for the Jim Dandy on Saturday are, you know, this is a prep for the Travelers.
Right.
And,
so, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the only problem I see with, first of all, it's a small, you know, you have a grade one race and you end up with only six horses.
Yeah, a $600,000 pot and you only have six horses.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, it just, and, it's a nine furlong race. All of these horses are basically run against each other at some point along the way, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and basically there's none of the horses in this race are being geared for this particular race. They're being geared for the Traveler. So, it's, you know.
So in a situation like that, most of the trainers are hoping to leave something left in the tank for the Travers. How do you think, but they still want to win. How do they approach that?
this is a very unusual race, because when you have one horse in here, Global Campaign, who's a definitely Kennedy, he beat Sir Winston in the Peter Pan. And but he's got foot problems. He's had foot problems all along. So, you know, he has gaps in every. I think he's only raced four times. He's won three of them, and he's only won four. He hasn't run since May the 11th. And there are gaps in every one of his efforts. And the only time he ran where it was, well, basically less than a month, although it was almost the same, he finished fifth, you know, in the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
But he's definitely the horse to keep in mind, because he should be very close to the lead with Tax, I would think.
And he's been working outstanding.
I'm sorry?
He's been working outstanding. The last three works been pretty good.
Which one, Tax?
Global Campaign.
Global. From what I see, all the horses have worked pretty well. I haven't seen anybody not working well.
Right. Yeah.
So it should be a decent race. The favorite's going to be Tacitus. Mm-hmm. And to me, the only problem he's got is the pace setup is not going to be conducive to his style of running. He's going to have to be closer to be involved in this, to win. He'll be involved. To win this race, he's going to have to be closer. No question about it.
So there'll be a lot of... Oh, go ahead.
The unknown in here is the three Mijos. Who, again, is supposed to be a good horse, but has had physical problems, apparently. Hasn't run since, his last run. He ran July 9th, so he ran in the Dwyer and got hammered. You know, he was six lengths off the lead. So you wonder at what point he's a factor. He's the unknown. Any other horse that I think is, you know, if I was, I would be playing today we were talking about a super play, the 4, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. with 4, 5, and 6, with one, with all.
So there you go.
Fox looks like a horse that will finish third.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, coming from behind.
Behind. Not going to get necessarily the pace setup that would be conducive to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he couldn't hit the board with the fast pace and the Preakness, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's making up some ground, but yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, when I say you might want to be like the all part in the fourth, but maybe your first and second horses that I named put him in the third spot with the one, and then all of the fourth spot, because anybody can clunk up, you know.
So that should be a big precursor to the Travers, the Jim Danny, which goes off 6:51, race 11 on Saturday. You have anything more on that race?
No.
Okay. So why don't we take a look?
Six-horse race.
What's that?
I said that was too much for a six-horse race.
That's right. They got too much credit, but they were the ones that showed up. So we've got two other big stake races before the Jim Danny, which starts off with a nice sprint, 6 furlongs, the Vanderbilt, a grade one on the dirt, which only has one more horse than the Jim Danny, 7. Okay, you go ahead. You looked at this one, right?
Yeah. What's the number?
This is race 9 on Saturday, the Vanderbilt.
Oh, 9, excuse me. Yeah. Okay. Would be helpful if I had the right day. I have got the wrong day up here.
Hey, just give out the numbers. We'll see. We'll let it fly, see what happens.
I got it now. Okay. You know what? I don't have it. I got Fridays up there. That's why.
Okay. So this race has an even.
I can put it up.
Right. You want me to sing a song?
Yeah,
that's right.
Here we go.
So, okay.
We're
so we've got Mattioli in the one hole, an even money favorite, which if you're going to play this race, you're kind of looking to see if this one's vulnerable. Has just, I believe, well, 7 straight wins. And are you going to try to beat Mattioli?
No.
No, you got to.
Next?
Oh, next. Okay.
The horse that is in this race is Imperial Hint won it last year, right? But he's coming back from Dubai, I think was the last time he ran, right?
Yeah. Has taken a good time off, you know, in between the race, but. I don't know. It's a tall asking for this one, right?
I think it is. Particularly the way Mattioli ran. I mean, he was super on the. It was Belmont Day, right? He beat.
That's right.
Who's the horse from California?
McKenzie.
Yeah, McKenzie.
Yeah.
I mean, McKenzie got cut off and probably at least made a race of it. But Mattioli, I mean, he ran, no matter how your speed figure, he was way, 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 way above. The other horse that's interesting, of course, is Forensic Fire, who certainly has the speed to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not necessarily a 6-furlong horse. So it may be too short for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I jotted down a couple horses to get in the numbers. Frenzy Fire and real long shot, Mr. Crow. But I'm looking at the speed fingers, pretty light for Mr. Crow.
Yeah, you can't totally ignore the Imperial Hint.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Because, I don't know the trainer. I mean, the jockey is certainly capable. Interesting that Jose jumps off the horse. And he's riding Mr. Crow.
That's right, yeah.
So, I don't think the Mr. Crow... I mean, if Mattioli shows up and runs his normal race, they're all running for second.
And I'm looking at some stats on Ben Colbrick going from allowance to stakes. Not too good.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and he's 0-6 for Saratoga so far. So.
Right.
Yeah. And he's 0-13 with Jose. So. Maybe they're due.
Let me edit my number 5 possible out of that. Yeah. So you're listening to Win at the Horses podcast. Bill Kelly, Joe Kelly, kicking it, talking about Saratoga and a little bit about Del Mar and industry news. How about that? Is that it for that race for you, or you want to?
That's it. It's a one-horse race as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So we've got now a challenging race, mile and 3/8 on the inner turf, the 10th race, which is the Bowling Green rated graded stakes 2. I believe the morning line favorite is Channel Maker, the Mont Rosario entry, which is definitely a solid horse.
I mean, you know, there's no question. He is a Prime Candidate. Interesting horse in that, when I looked at it, was the Chilean horse that Chad Brown's bringing up.
Yeah, that's the other one I wrote down, the 3 and the 5. So, yeah. Primo, yeah.
And, you know, so that, and and probably a horse with a price would be the 10 Channel Cat, mm-hmm. a Pletcher horse.
Right.
And he bred it to within 3/4 of a length in the United Nations. He's definitely got to be a candidate. Can certainly get the distance, and which is when you get to this type of distance, you know, 11 furlongs, 12 furlongs. It's really, you got to focus in on horses that have shown that they're capable of getting that distance. You know?
And July 30th had a second place in 3/4 off with Saez in an allowance race last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and a good turf. Well, it probably be firm by Saturday, but
yeah. But speed figures to me in these long distance mean nothing,
you know? Right?
The interesting thing, the 2-horse Sadler's Joy is a horse that will be coming from a long way off. He's a something you might want to think about, third and fourth spot. Highland Sky, third and fourth spot. Even Channel Cat, the same thing. The other horse that that people were talking about is Olympical, mm-hmm. which is a Chad Brown horse, right. So he's got it surrounded. I mean, he's proven to be a decent horse for a distance, you know. Looks like probably. Maybe over, he's not, I mean, he's not the, I mean, the horse that Channel Maker, I think, is the Brown, too. Oh, no, that's Mott's horse.
Right.
Who's the, Mott's got a couple in this race. The three.
Yeah,
y'all.
Right. The three might be the, yeah, and if you get, I don't know if you'll get the 8-1 price come, showtime, but if you do, it might be worth a shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would think that if being a Chad Brown, that anything 4-1 and above would be of consideration. Mm-hmm. If he's 8-1 and above, I would say that the word is out that the horse is not ready, you know?
Right, yeah.
So
that should be an interesting lot. Yeah.
Huh?
No, go ahead. I didn't hear what you said.
Is there anybody else in there you saw that?
I initially wrote down 3 and 5, so those were my top two right there.
I think you're right.
So those are the stake races, our analysis of the stake races Saturday at Saratoga. Anything else on that card, or you want to move on to Del Mar and some other things?
No, the only other stakes race that I saw, even at Del Mar, was, let me pull that up. Again, Del Mar doesn't have the program numbers up, so it's very difficult to handicap.
So we have, it's the 8th race, the Bing Crosby, also known as the Pat Kelly race. in some circles, but.
Yeah, that one. No, but there's also an early one, then the third race.
Okay.
Is a state bred.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right.
And the interesting horse there to me was, Cruel Intentions is, the favorite. Who's that Baffert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Baffert's got another one in that race, right? Isn't it? No, he's only one.
Right. Dougie O'Neill's got two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. This is a lot of speed.
Right.
Therefore, you would kind of think you might want to look for someone to close it. And the only, not even a true closer, but a closer who normally is not too far back, but shows something. And Van Dyke has been riding this track very well out there, is Lieutenant Dan. He's normally a turf horse.
Right.
But the interesting thing to me, this is a 7-furlong race, and I always like horses that are cutting back from routes, particularly 9 furlongs to 7 furlongs. So to me, Lieutenant Dan would be the horse that I would bet in Cruel Intention is going to be really short. Mm-hmm. So to me, the Lieutenant Dan would be the place I would go.
And the record on the dirt, 5 starts, 2 wins, and a first and a
third.
Yeah,
he's been running on turf. But his best record is he's actually 6-3-1-1, as a dirt record.
Right.
So, but that's where I would go. Now, in the Bing Crosby, this was another race that was kind of, there's a couple of, what did I see in this? It's going to be a pretty highly, this is a high pressured race. There's 5 horses that should be, up close, pushing each other. 3 need the lead types. And the true closer of this race was the Phil D'Amato horse, the Air Strike.
Yeah, that's the one I had.
And he's on he's got a win on Del Mar, which is always important. So I would think if the horse is anywhere near 5-6-1, I would think that he'd be worth a bet.
That's the number 5, Norberto Arroyo, who had a victory in the last start at Santa Anita on this horse. So. Maybe continues the streak.
Right. This is a kid that was not a kid. I think he was on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I was thinking he used to ride in the New York circuit.
Yeah, and Parks then got himself had a little trouble. And was out of racing for a while.
Oh, okay.
So, and he's been doing okay. He's at 14% win rate. So I would think that, he's not going to kill you,
Right. And D'Amato's standout trainer. So I think definitely has a good shot if he can close on a torrid pace.
And the only other stake I saw was a race in Gulfstream.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where that was.
For Saturday, you're talking, right?
Huh?
Saturday. For Saturday. Oh, race 11.
Race 11, right. And this race, I had, interesting, and one of the reasons I saw this as a race I liked was the number two horse, Razorback Lady, who's owned and trained by Bjorn Cohn.
That's your guy.
That's my guy from Hong Kong.
Right, right.
And the competition will come from the Royal Asher, number 10.
Right.
So I think it's a two-horse race, and I'm going with my guy.
Yeah, that's right. You probably get a better price. And you have a long shot also in there, the four, Sophia's Angel.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And a closer. So certainly, you know, hard. I mean, the 10 and the 2 should be, 10, 2, and 6 should all be on the front, although I think the 2's got too much speed for any of them.
I'm looking at your 4's, Peter Walder's number, Turf to Dirt, outstanding, according to Timeform, a 98 rating.
Who's this? Oh.
Your 4, Pete Walder. Going Turf to Dirt, Timeform gives that move 98 rating.
For the number 4?
Yeah.
The problem to me, I'm always cautious about horses that are going to come too far off the pace down there, you know.
Right.
I mean, this is a, first of all, it's a dirt race, and this horse has been running on turf. He is cutting back, so I mean, I like that aspect of it. And the trainer is super, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you're right. The 4 is definitely a candidate.
And you probably get that price. The morning line odds is a good shot.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think right. So. You know, I mean, he went off at 51 to 1 last time. So.
Yeah.
Probably. And has 12 to 1 or more. You
know? Yeah. And other than workouts, hasn't run on a dry track.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Just a long shot.
Yeah. Nice long shot, or maybe to put in your exotics as well. That's the. Race 11 at Gulfstream Park, the Added Elegance Stakes. That's the official name of the stake. And we also, let's see, tomorrow there is the Curlin Stakes over at Saratoga, the ninth race. Have any feel on that one?
Hang on, let me pull that up. So Friday.
Oh, no, wait. Okay, yeah, Friday, yeah.
Saratoga. Well, the only thing we're going to have to be mindful there now is, I mean, they have a lot of rain, so it'll be, what race is that?
It's the ninth race, 5:51 start, Eastern.
Okay, I had it 1-3.
Okay. Yeah, I like the 1, but you're not going to get much of a price on those two.
No, I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of effort there. The only other horse I thought maybe the 8 as a, you know, as pressing, you know, somewhere on the 1 and 3 and 8, maybe a box to the 1, 3, 8. That's the way I saw it. So
Saratoga, another up in the air for tomorrow, but it should be drying out. I think it's going to be nice weather.
Well, it wasn't supposed to rain at all, so I'm not going out on a limb.
Wow, that's, I mean, they haven't been complaining too much about it, but, you know, I'm sure it's not the ideal scenario to have all these little bumps in the road.
Well, I think what the problem today was not the fact that it rained, but they didn't anticipate rain at all, and therefore it wasn't sealed.
Right.
And therefore, the water came down. During the fourth race and before the fifth race, they got so much rain that they weren't even able to seal the track and protect it from horses digging into it. And I guess with the weekend coming, they didn't want to take any chances. I don't think it would have necessarily affected today's racing, but it might have affected the dirt course for the rest of the week.
Right. Yeah. So they take that into consideration. I wanted to bring this up because I'm reading Steve Davidowitz's Betting Thoroughbreds book.
Yeah.
The updated version. And I was reading something last night when Deterra won the Belmont Stakes, the big upset.
Yes.
I could never figure out how did this horse win. And he mentioned something in the book, the speed figure and the variant, the DRF speed figure and variant combined together were just like a point lower than Big Brown. Last race before the
I remember. It's funny. I was in the book watching that race. Big Brown won the five or something. And about the three-quarter mark of the race, I said to the guy next to me, "Big Brown's done." And there's something I don't know whether it was. So I'm because there's never been. I mean, if you recall, Big Brown had a foot issue, abscess on his foot, really ugly.
I think there was something wrong. Yeah.
Oh, terrible. I mean, it looked awful. I'm surprised they ran him.
Right.
Obviously, either the Sawmills thought that, hey, this horse, this foot thing is not good, and therefore, he just didn't try after the first quarter. He came out of the gate, and I think he tried to go for the lead.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he couldn't get the lead, and then he just kind of pulled up and finished tailed off. So, who was the horse, Tatara or whatever his name is?
Yeah, Tatara, yeah. Trained by...
Yeah, he
never won another race.
Man.
Yeah.
So, he just galloped, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12 around the racetrack and nobody could catch him.
Yeah, so, looking back at never won another race after the Belmont.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny, John, if you go and look at how many horses in this Triple Crown races just never win anything thereafter. It must just tear these horses up to race that many times in a short period of time.
Right.
Who's the horse that mind that bird?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another one who just. Right. Right.
On the list, there's a number of them that just never amounted to anything after one of these wins, So.
Yeah.
Is such a unique thing. When you get to a mile and a half race, again, it's all American breed bred horses are just, they're not bred for that distance anymore. True classic distance.
Right.
It's not that they can't make the mile and a half. The question is they can't make it in a winning time. So horses that can get out of the lead, you watch how many mile and a half races are won by the horse that jumps out of the gate, controls the pace, and nobody catches them.
That's true. Yeah.
And a lot of them are long prices.
Well, I'll tell you, looking at that race in hindsight, the Tara Belmont victory, the $2 superfecta paid $48,637.
Yeah, I was just short of that.
Yeah, you were just, you're almost there. Yeah, that's right.
I think I burned my big brown t-shirt.
That's right. And the fan club. I don't think I've ever won on the DeSormo horse. For some reason, I just can't connect with him.
Yeah. Well, he's a good jockey, but he's...
Yeah.
He has a habit of wrapping up on a horse if he doesn't think he can win, and costs his backers money by not, you know, pushing and finishing, you know, to hit the board. You know, I mean, he's got a reputation for doing that. So, not riding a horse all the way to the wire.
Yeah, that not like Jorge Chavez.
Yeah. I mean, Pedroza out here, you know.
Right.
I mean, Pedroza would ride a mule to the end, you know.
How old is Pedroza now? He's got to be close to 50, right?
Oh, he's over 50.
Man. Oh, okay.
His son is riding out in the Midwest, I think.
Is that Marcelino?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What happened to David Flores? Is he totally out?
He's retired.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
He's now, actually, David Flores is on the California board.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of the jockeys just, you know, had a little time in the spotlight, and then they just fade away and be heard again. Yeah.
I think it sometimes. I remember you see his sons and daughters riding down Robbie Davis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In a very bad spill. And I think mm-hmm. the guy who went with him died. I've forgotten his name.
Mike Venezia.
Davis to the point that he would never take a horse inside anymore, you know? So see that as a guy gets older and wiser, you don't see him taking too many chances anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, you think going into the meet, he's had a pretty slow meet so far, Dylan Davis. You're kind of expecting a little more from him, but we'll have to see the rest of the meet.
Well, I think, part of the reason is, you know, you look at the colony at Saratoga, you're not getting the same colony you had in New York races. Right. You know, the Ortiz brothers were only there part-time at Castellano, and Saez and Franco were there, but then you bring in some of the other jocks that come in.
Yeah, Santana, yeah.
It's difficult for them. I mean, you look at Davis's rides, he's always getting, he gets rides from, who's the, Finger Lakes.
Jeremiah Englehart.
Right. If you look at the rides he gets, he's getting horses from his barn. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Jeremiah, but when you take his stock and compare it to guys like, you know, Brown and Pletcher and Mott, you know, all these guys, I mean, it just, he's not getting those types of rides, you know?
Right. And he might even be getting Englehart's second string at times.
Yeah, but even Englehart's not in that top list, you know.
Right.
And he may be down in Belmont, but or in New York, downstate, but he's not at Saratoga. Remember, a few years ago, he went years without a win.
Right. Yeah.
And then he's improved his stock quite a bit since that time, but. It takes time to develop these things and to get the owners that will, you know, put bucks up and get these horses. You know, even Pletcher right now is not, it's not turning. You know, I mean, I didn't see his, let me see his, if I can pull up his figures. He,
He's got a 14% win clip.
That's nothing by comparison to where he was, right? I mean, looking at the trainers, he's Engelhardt. It's actually done pretty well with 2-year-olds. Actually, he's not doing it. Maiden claimers and 2-year-olds, he's done okay. Pletcher, where is Pletcher? Here he is. He's done extremely well with the usual thing. The 2-year-olds, he's got 8 starts with, he's won 13% winners, you know.
Oh, okay.
In the money. His best category is, or one of the best, is allowance horses, you know. He's got a 67% in the money factor on that. And, Chad Brown is off the charts. His stakes horses, they've had 12 stakes that he's running. He's won 25% of them.
Wow.
He's in the money at 67%.
So, tough to...
easy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you're a Chad man, you're all set.
Yeah, well, you're all set. I they don't have the ROIs up here, but so I can't really tell you anything about that. But I mean, you're not going to make any money on him.
And sometimes he's got 3 or 4 in a stakes race, just just an outstanding trainer, like you said, all around.
He couldn't lose. He had all the horses in the race.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The other day, right?
Yeah. I mean, on turf, okay. His average payoff is $4.50. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're not making any. That's his average for everything, actually. The longest average price is Mott. It's $12.20. Off of 5 wins. It's still, I mean, you know. It's interesting to see, you know, if you look at the names of the horses, of the trainers that are doing well. Here's is by starts, or by wins. Chad Brown has got 8. Linda Rice is 4, and I guess I bet most of them are sprints and turf sprints at that. Mott's got 4. Pletcher's got 3, and Engelhardt's got 3. Cassie's got 3, and Baker's got 3. Asmussen's 3, and Bond's got 3. So, you know, I guess Brown, you have to. I mean, when he has all the horses in the race, he can't lose.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not his fault. I mean, he put the horses in there, or nobody wanted to run against him. So,
yeah.
It should be an interesting Saturday with the 3 stakes there. I'm not sure they're good betting races. Maybe probably the best betting race is the 10th, the turf race.
Mm-hmm.
the sprint is pretty much a one horse race, and the Jim Dandy just doesn't have enough horses in there to make it interesting. And then, you know, the horses that are going to be favored are, should one of them, one of the three should win.
And Del Mar with only seven races on the card, that's a little disappointing, but.
Well, that's because it comes back to, it's interesting. One thing about Del Mar, it's interesting, is that they have what they call a ship and win program there, you know, meaning that the horses run out of town, and
right,
ships in, he gets a bonus if he wins the first time he runs.
Okay.
Those horses, everybody, all the owners want to win at Del Mar, but that bonus is significant enough that they really get their horses ready. So you look for horses that are ship and win, and they've done pretty well. But they don't have the horse population there. They just, when all the things happened at Saint Denis, many of these trainers took their horses primarily to Kentucky, mm-hmm. And some to New York.
Right.
And although the trainers have returned, not all the horses they took away are coming back.
So let's hope they get this. Yeah.
They come back as ship and win candidates, you know.
Right. So after we'll recap next week the stakes at Saratoga and Del Mar, some action there, and then we'll start previewing as things definitely will heat up in Saratoga for heading into August. So this, I want to thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Days left us to, or probably less now, to the Breeders' Cup, so we got to start thinking about that.
That's right, yeah, because that'll arrive in no time.
Yeah.
And always
good European races this weekend.
Oh yeah, do you know a tracker?
The King George and I forgot what the other horse was. It was at Ascot? Not the Royal Ascot, but the Ascot race car. I forgot.
Right.
But there are a couple of, you're going to start getting some decent overseas races now.
Are you getting the shakes from lack of Hong Kong races?
I'm making my plans already. Well,
okay.
It's only another month to go.
Oh, okay. I think you'll be all right.
I can hold that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this is final thoughts. There's a potential documentary on the 2 year of Fairfield Lumber from the year before you took over that baseball team, how bad they were, into the first year you started to rebuild that team.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that rebuild the first year. That wasn't, most of those players were candidates for prison.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You have pretty much the drug addicts. Hopefully they straighten themselves out or have spent time in prison. It'd be interesting to find some of those people and do some interviews. Because we got Dave Blasky, who was the assistant coach of the year prior, and he will readily admit that they left your team barren and they drafted poorly the year before. And, so.
And he was the one that I was at a, I guess it was a coach of basketball. I was in, or I was, I don't know, maybe I had brought you to tryouts.
Okay.
For Dick Ruth. And I was sitting in the stands. And Blasky says, "Hey, Kelly, you come down here and coach this team."
Well, he said the head coach, I think, was Jim Nabrodowski, maybe. And he said that he just wasn't spent.
It was Dave that got involved.
Yeah, because I think Dave pretty much had to take over the team because this guy wasn't showing up. He was busy with his own business. And well, yeah, those were some really crazy stories.
We had some interesting times. And then there was one year where I had two teams at the same time. I was playing, you know, sometimes on a Sunday we had triple headers.
Oh, wow.
I had the junior Babe Ruth League and then the seniors.
Uh-huh. Wow.
The big effort was to keep the seniors out of the bars in between games.
Yeah, so drinking age was only 18. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I know. If I'm not mistaken, the drinking age had dropped to 18. And, you know, then it went back to 21, but at one point it was 18.
Yeah, yeah. I remember many a trip to New York State on Sundays. Yeah. For those of you out there listening, you know, that's a little detour off about East Coast humor in sports. But we want to thank our listeners for listening to Win at the Horses podcast. We record this on Thursdays, and my dad, Bill Kelly, giving some outstanding analysis of what's going on in the thoroughbred. And wish everybody success. And thanks, Dad, for joining along again.
Nice, Joe. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right.